Young people seem to be facing greater challenges on a daily basis, from the more typical aspects of growing up to more dramatic fears such as school shootings. And over the past 5 years or so, more of us generally, and young people especially, are glued to our smartphones and social media. New research by San Diego State University psychology professor Gene Twenge indicates that mental health disorders have risen dramatically among teens and young adults up to 25 years old. That shift, according to the research, has not been seen in other generations. Professor Twenge is also the author of iGen, Why Today's Superconnected Kids Are Growing Up Less Rebellious, More Tolerant, Less Happy, and Completely Unprepared for Adulthood, and What That Means for the Rest of Us, and she is with me. Professor, what are the numbers saying to you about younger people having an increase in mental health disorders or feeling more depressed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to take as comprehensive a look as we could at depression and suicidal thoughts and attempts across people of all ages. We drew from a very large data set of about 600,000 people that collects data every year since the mid-2000s. And we found a pretty significant uptick in depression, suicidal thoughts, and suicide attempts since around 2012. Between 2012 and 2017, there was a pronounced increase. And it was almost entirely among those ages 12 to 25, with not as much change among those ages 26 and older.
More and more people have smartphones. More and more people are glued to different screens and whatnot and social media. Without knowing for sure, does that make sense that that trend would coincide?
You know, I think it does, although that wasn't the first place my mind went when I was looking at this data and this pattern. You know, I first wondered if it had something to do with the Great Recession, but then if you look at the way that lines up, it really doesn't. That period 2012 to 2017, the U.S. economy was improving. We also considered other possibilities like the opiate epidemic, but that is a little bit of a different time sequence. And most importantly, it primarily has affected people ages 30 and over, and we saw the effects primarily for younger people. So that left us thinking, well, what is something that might have had a bigger effect on younger people versus older ones in that time period? And social media and the smartphone are possible examples, because the 2012 happens to be the year when the percentage of Americans who owned a smartphone crossed 50%. That's when they became common. And that same time period, social media moved from being kind of optional to almost mandatory among teens. And, you know, getting your first smartphone and social media account at age 12 or 13 could certainly have a very different effect on mental health than getting your first smartphone or social media account at 25 or 30, as older generations did.
And via digital media, are people more likely to communicate in that way, so that others are less likely potentially to see signs because of, without the smartphone, without computers, for example, though people have had those for years, that people are more likely to, not be able to express themselves in a almost exclusive way via the phone or via texting, as opposed to actually having to, someone is seeing their face, someone is sensing their emotions, mm-hmm. as opposed to going in a room and being on the computer or being on the smartphone.
Yeah, because when you have a problem or you're feeling sad or you're feeling depressed, people tend not to express those thoughts on Facebook or on Instagram. On social media, the unwritten rule is to show just the positive side of yourself, the glamorous side of your life. And same thing through texting. It's difficult to really get social support from someone, you know, via text. To really get that, usually you want to hug, and usually you want to be able to see the person's face and physically be with them. That tends to help people feel better a lot more than electronic communication.
The numbers seemed to dramatically increase over the course of 5 to 10 years, talking about 2012 to 2017, but even the longer of 2005 to 2017. So that clearly indicates this is a significant shift. The increase seems so dramatic. Were you initially struck, even as someone with a great knowledge of this, that these percentages are, this is quite a leap here?
Yeah, I've been doing this work on generational differences for a long time, about 25 years. And I got used to seeing generational differences that were big, but would take a decade or two to get there. They'd take some time to roll out. These changes were so sudden and so large. I had really never seen anything like it. It really speaks to a really fundamental shift that must be affecting a large number of people in a big way. And that's really unusual when you're looking at generational and cultural change. This is an unusual shift here between millennials and iGen. You know, I really wondered what was going on, but then it started to show up in data set after data set and outcome versus outcome.
Is this something that the companies that do social media or do gaming should be aware of? And should they be expected to put some sort of restrictions on, knowing that maybe when it comes to certain age groups, there should be some limitations?
Well, you know, the good news is that at least the hardware manufacturers have already taken some of those steps. So both Android and iPhones have parental control ability that, say, on an iPhone, there's an app called Screen Time, and a parent can do things like limit the amount of time that a kid is on certain apps or shut down the phone at bedtime. Really useful things like that. As for software manufacturers, it's going to be a harder sell because, you know, a company like Snap or Facebook, they make the most money the longer people spend. So it's a little against their business model to really think of ways to get people off their product. With that said, I think especially, at the younger end, they need to be thinking about this, you know, as just one way to start. It's actually the law that you're not supposed to have a social media account in your own name until you're 13, yet that's never enforced.
Gene Twenge is a professor of psychology at San Diego State University and author of the book, iGen.